Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. How do you stand when life doesn't make sense? First, worship your Creator and Redeemer simply for who He is, not for what He gives or for what He takes away. Next, surrender yourself to Him without reservation, especially in times of trial and tragedy. Finally, anchor your heart in this truth. God is both sovereign and sufficient. Please open your Bible to Job chapter 2, verse 11, and listen as we rejoin Pastor Ray Viola as he unpacks these timeless principles through the powerful testimony of Job.
You jump down to chapter 2, verse 11. Job's three friends heard of all of this that was come upon him. They came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, they made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. But in chapter 16, verse 2, what did Job call these three men? Miserable comforters. Have you ever had miserable comforters as a Christian? Nobody besides me. Well, you're missing an opportunity to grow. So what did these comforters, let me sum it up, what they said to Job. Job, you're suffering because you have sinned against God. It is not possible that any man could suffer the calamity that you've suffered unless he has done something very, very, very bad. Don't you know that if you have faith and just make a positive confession, you'll never be sick. You'll never lose your job. You will be wealthy and healthy. You'll never know a moment of pain and trouble. There's a Greek word that describes that heretical theology. It's called baloney. So Job has lost everything. He's even lost his friends when you read chapter 19, verses 13 through 22. And so my first point for you and I this morning. How do you stand when you do not understand what's going on? It might surprise you. Ready for this? How many of you are ready? How do you stand when you do not understand what's going on? Number one, Job 1:20 and 21. Job arose, tore off his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worship? After all of this? After this trial? After this devastating loss? But it's consistent in Scripture. Remember that God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child of promise, and then the child was born. And then what did God do? He said, Abraham, I want you to take that child that you've waited for. I want you to bring him up to Mount Moriah, the very same place where Calvary is. I want you to sacrifice him. And in Genesis 22, verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Abraham didn't have Genesis chapter 22 to read. He says, okay, Lord, you give, you take away. If this is what it means to follow you, I will worship. Remember the story of David and Bathsheba? They had a child out of wedlock. And in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, the child got sick. And David began to pray and intercede and asked that God in his mercy would spare the child. And then he hears that the child dies. And when David was told that the child died, he stopped praying. And you know what else he did? He worshiped. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are beaten up pretty badly. They're thrust into the inner prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And Paul and Silas were persecuted, put into solitary confinement. We read that they prayed, they sang praises to God, they worshiped in a prison cell. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. How do you stand when you don't understand what is going on? You worship. You worship. You worship God because of who he is. Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 145, I will extol you, O my God, and I will bless your name forever. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Whether it's a good day, bad day, how do you stand when you don't understand? You praise God for who he is. That's the time when you make those declarations. You are my God. You are my creator. You are my redeemer. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place and for my sin in order that I might receive forgiveness of sin. You worship him. You worship him. Point number two, how do you stand when you don't understand what's going on? Well, what's the devil's objective? To get you to quit. To get you to stop. Point number two, you determine to trust the Lord and walk before him. Job said in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. You see, Satan was out to get him. Satan wanted to destroy his testimony. Satan wanted Job, and he did to a certain degree, to question God. But he didn't give in. The book of Job does not answer the why questions, but it does answer the who question. Ultimately, who's in control? Ultimately, who's in control? Who's keeping this creation going? You? Me? The devil? Who's running this universe? God is. Beloved, determine to trust and walk with Jesus in the midst of every trial, every test, and every storm of life. Jesus said to the men that he was going to send out and preach the gospel in the upper room, John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, it's going to be a different story. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You see the heavenly perspective. We don't look at things that are seen. We look at things that are not seen. Things that are seen are subject to change. Things that are unseen. We walk by faith, not by sight. What did Job know? Chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job, with the limited revelation that he had of God, says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he's going to stand upon the earth in the latter days. And of course, that was prophetic. Because he did stand on the earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And though these worms seek to destroy my body, I'm going to see God one day. You see, Job believed in God. But during his trial, he couldn't reconcile what he was experiencing with God's character. What appeared to be his silence. Chapter 23, Job says, I go forward, but he is not there. I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself in the right hand. I cannot see him. Have you ever experienced a trial or a tragedy in your life and asked God the question, where are you? Anybody? Nothing seems to be making sense to Job. Why is this happening, God? Where are you? You ever been there? Maybe you're there this morning. How do you and I stand as followers of the Lord Jesus when God seems to be silent and you do not understand what is going on? You walk in the light that you do have. Because then he would say in chapter 23, verse 10, but he knows the way I'm going to take. I'm not a fair weather believer. When he tries me, I will come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. Now listen to this. For he is performing the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. That's incredible, isn't it? Job knew, with the limited knowledge that he had, God was in control. You know, there are times when there's divine silence. And whenever you and I have those times of divine silence, it's important that we walk in the truth that we have that can speak to us through the scriptures. We walk, what? By faith, not by sight. Like in the book of Ecclesiastes, life is sometimes a mystery of cycles, where it seems like in Psalm 73, the bad guys are getting blessed, quote unquote, and the good guys are going through the grinder. You and I need to learn this about life. Life is not a problem to be solved. It is a mystery to be lived. It's a mysterious journey of Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11, that is filled with twists and turns, joys and sorrows, life and death. But in and through it all, Emmanuel is with us, and heaven awaits all those who have trusted the Lord Jesus for the salvation of their eternal soul. Someone has written, God is too good to be unkind, too wise to make a mistake, and when we cannot trace his hand, we can trust his heart. So how do you and I stand in life when we don't understand what's going on? Number one, we worship our God. Number two, we surrender. Number three, how do you stand when you don't understand what's going on? Well, you have to fast forward your reading of Job and go to chapter 38 through 42, where after everyone else speaks, God speaks. Whenever God speaks, there's clarity. Found that out? And when you read those chapters, you'll note in the dialogue that God never tells Job why everything has happened to him. God never gave Job an answer for why he went through all that he went through, but God gave Job something better. You know what he gave him in those chapters? I know you know. God gave Job a revelation of himself. He asked Job questions about creation and how the universe and life on planet Earth runs. God peppers Job with a number of questions that Job cannot even begin to understand. Job and his friends have been asking questions about why Job was going through all that he was going through. And now God speaks out of the whirlwind with questions that are beyond human comprehension. You know, there's a passage that says God gives us a peace that passes understanding. And I've heard if you want to have the peace that passes understanding, you have to yield the right to have to understand everything. The Bible says as the heavens are above the earth, God's ways are above our ways. Saints, there are simply some things that happen in our lives, this side of glory, that you and I will never understand. And I know that I'm speaking to many of you. But here's what we should never doubt. Our God is the true and living God. Our God is the creator of the universe. Our God is the sovereign Lord over the entire universe. The Bible says even the winds and the waves obey him. The Bible says that he controls every star in every galaxy, and he even knows when a little sparrow falls to the ground. And when you washed your hair this morning and you lost some of this, he knew the exact number of hairs you have left. And some of you make it very easy for God to do that. Job 42. I love it. Job answered the Lord and says, I know that you can do everything. So he goes from doubting. He sees God. He goes, yep, no problem. I know you can do everything. Then no thought can be withheld from you. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I didn't understand, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thereunto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know what Job says? He was just a man. He was blameless like you and I are in Christ. He was perfect like you and I are in Christ. He mumbled a little. He complained a little. He said things about God that he says, now that I've seen you, I probably shouldn't have said that. It wasn't too wise. And I'm sure it wasn't edifying. You see, but when Job saw himself in the light of God, in the light of who God is, he repented in dust and ashes. And what may have bothered Job about God for so long was never a concern when he saw him face to face. Again, Job was never told the reason for his sufferings, but all of that did not seem to matter because now he was in the presence of the majesty, beauty, and glory of God. Job's three friends were talking wrongly about God, but Job is now talking to God. And Christian fellowship is beautiful and it's wonderful and we need it. We need accountability. We need to encourage one another. There are times, beloved, when you need and I need to just be talking to God alone and then be silent and wait until he speaks to you. Job now says, Lord, now that I have heard you, now that I have seen you, I realize you are enough for me. You're my portion. Let me ask you, beloved, is knowing who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for you enough to cause you to stand when you don't understand what's going on? Is he enough if you lose everything? Where are we getting our joy from this morning? Where are we getting our peace from this morning? Where will we find hope this morning, comfort this morning? Are we getting our joy or our peace from the Lord alone or from things or people that God has blessed us with? The prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 9, verse 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know what the Lord was saying to the children of Israel who were very covetous and very idolatrous? He had blessed them in so many ways. He says, don't glory in what I've given to you. Be thankful. Glory in me. Rejoice in me. St. Augustine wrote a sermon on the love of God, and the sermon goes something like this. Listen carefully. God comes to an individual and offered them a deal. And here's what he said. I will give you anything you want. You can possess the whole world. Nothing will be impossible for you. You can have infinite power. Nothing will be a sin. Nothing forbidden. You will never die. You will never have pain. You will never have anything that you do not want and always have everything that you do want except for this one thing. You will never see my face. And that sermon was ended by asking the question, would you take that deal? If your answer this morning is a resounding no, then you are an individual who loves the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You see, when you and I are born again, the Bible doesn't teach us that we will live a promise, that we will, he doesn't promise us a life free of trials or tragedy. It happens, right? Isn't that true? But here's what he does promise. And this is the only thing that's going to last forever. He promises us a relationship with him by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know what God promises you? Forgiveness of sins. You know what God promises you? Things that money can't buy. You know what he promises you? His presence in this turbulent world that you and I live in. He promises to be with you and me always. You know, we live up here in the Northeast, and it gets pretty tough in the winter times. A lot of people have a hard time with the winter, and I get it. The older you get, it gets pretty tough. And so I've seen many people over the years make a choice to move to the South, where it's warmer, or another part of the country. That's fine. And I always say to them this, never forget, wherever you move, you're going to be there. And if you grumble here, eventually you'll grumble there. If you complain here, eventually you're going to complain there. And it's true, isn't it? We're happy campers say, look, it's not raining. What if it did? You see, beloved, when you hear the word gospel, which means good news, never forget, Jesus Christ is the gospel. So let me try to sum it up for you. How do you stand in life when you don't understand what's going on? Number one, you worship your creator and redeemer for who he is. Number two, you surrender yourself unreservedly to him in times of trial or tragedy. Number three, you know that God is sovereign and that God is sufficient. Beloved, when your circumstances give you no reason to trust God, you trust him because of his character. One time, Jesus was surrounded by a multitude. And I've often thought, who was in that multitude? People like you and I, people who have fallen short of the glory of God. But I also think Nicodemus may have been in that multitude. Saul of Tarsus may have been in that multitude. People who were religious, people who perhaps were nice people, but just rank and file, self-righteous, thinking I'm good enough. God will usher me into the kingdom because of what a good person, a good man, a good woman I am. No, he won't. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's not by our works. And what did Jesus say to a numerous crowd? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I can't even imagine the various kinds of people that were in that multitude. I can't even imagine the people that are in this park. Jesus, hear him saying this to you personally. You come to me. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pope. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a counselor. You come to Christ alone. He says, I will give you rest.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.